This
is Mythical.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
This is Dispatches from Myrtle Beach with Charles Neal and my son Link. Man, it's been a little while. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Dad. Good to see you. Good to see you.
Yeah, I'm telling you, yeah.
And this is officially Happy New Year for us. This is the first time we're seeing each other recording one in the 2024. So, Happy New Year, Father.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, yeah. We did kind of do a little texting when on New Year's Eve, but besides that, we ain't got to see one another like we usually do.
Till right
so
now,
it's really good to see you. Yeah,
and good to see you too. See, I've got a little bit more of a tan. I've been outside a lot. When you're in New Zealand, everything is outside, and there's lots to do. So I got lots to tell you about. Yeah, okay. You don't look like you have much more of a tan, but I don't know if that's possible for you. You just constantly have a tan.
Well, I had some tan, and it's been about a month now since we got back, so it's kind of eased on out. Like winter has eased on in. So.
From you're talking about your Aruba tan.
That's correct, because man, I had a tan. I mean.
You were laying out
every day.
Is that the extent of your update? You went to Aruba and you laid out.
No, we'll get into that in a little bit and talk about your trip.
Well, fine. What you want to talk about first then?
Well, I got a little holler out that I wanted to get over with.
Okay.
And
all right, it's your show.
Then we got a lot of catching up to do, so
that's what
I just thought it'd be good. Jenna Murphy sent me a thing. It says, it's the darkest time of the year in Alaska when we get just 5 hours of low light during the day and tons of snow. Listening to your podcast sweeps me away. Goodness gracious. As soon as I hear that music, I'm in a warmer, sunnier place. It's a tough time of the year, and the laughter while listening to your podcast gives me a boost. So as I go to my outdoor job where I am in the cold and dark and the snow, your podcast truly has me drifting away to Myrtle Beach and And I couldn't bear these winters without you guys. If you holler me out, it would make my year. Well, Jenna, I'm hollering you out. And I don't know what to tell you because I want to go to Alaska, but I don't want to go up there and live because I don't like cold weather. And I admire you for living there, and people just like to live at different places. But I am glad dispatches from Myrtle Beach makes your life a little bit better while you're working and when it's cold and all that snow that you've got out there. So here's a holler out from Charles and my son, Link.
Holler out, Jenna Murphy. That's the power that you have, Dad. You can brighten someone's day just by a holler out. And it sounds like that you are literally brightening her very dark day. I mean, I guess she's not getting the tans that we've been getting lately. Not enough sunlight up there in Alaska, apparently.
Yeah, because Jenna, we're going to just get right on because I've been to Aruba and Link's been to New Zealand, and it was hot in New Zealand and it was hot in Aruba, and we've both been getting a suntan. So I hope it don't make you jealous that even in the dead of winter here at Myrtle Beach, we've been traveling around getting us a suntan in different parts of the world. So,
hey, listen, you gave her the holler out. That brightened her day. You don't need to attach an apology to it. We're not rubbing it in. We're sharing it. We're sharing that.
That would be correct. Yeah.
Here I am I'm getting a phone call. I'm going to answer it. Hello? It was Nana. It was Nana.
Nana.
Well, let me call her back.
That's fine.
I mean, she can be a part of the show. We can give her a hard time for interrupting.
You can't give her a hard time.
I'm going to try my best.
Hello?
Hey, Nana.
Hey, darling boy.
You just called me.
You're back in the United States.
That's right. And listen, you called me at an interesting time. You have interrupted me in the middle of something very important. Can you guess what it is?
Well, you finished it, I hope.
No, I was just starting it.
Uh-oh. Do you want to call me back? I just wanted to hear your voice and know that things are fine.
Well, full disclosure, you are now on Dispatches from Myrtle Beach with your son Charles and your grandson Link. That's what you have interrupted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You don't have to be sorry. We called you on purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so you need to say something to all of our Myrtle Beasts listeners. You got anything you want to say to them?
Yes, I have the most grand grandson that ever there was, and my son is the same way. You are just tops.
I can't argue with that.
I love you both very much.
Okay. Can you put that in the form of a podcast review on Apple or wherever you listen to podcasts?
Okay. That's
fine. Hey, you don't know what I'm talking about. Shoot, you're so quiet. Okay. Oh, she does. Okay. All right.
I know y'all are on podcasts.
All right. And a podcast is what?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm so glad that y'all were home and that you had a good time.
We had a good time. I was just about to tell Dad all about it, and we'll call you back and tell you all about it too.
All right, dear. I love you.
I love you too. But I will say it was probably the best trip that I've ever been on, ever. You know, I've been on a lot of trips.
Wonderful.
It's absolutely beautiful in New Zealand.
Again with all three of your children, right?
I know it was very special, and we didn't kill each other, and we still love each other after spending 2 weeks together and just I mean, we put all the kids in their own room, and then Christy and I usually had our own room. There was a couple of nights where Lando was in the room with us, but for the most part, we put the kids in their own room, so we would go to sleep, and they'd be alive, and then we'd get up the next morning and check on if they hadn't killed each other, and they were doing all right.
They're not that mean to each other anyway.
They are. They get along pretty well, and it's they don't throw any things or bite, you know. Well, I'll call you back. But yeah, we're.
I'm glad things are well, and you're gonna have to put all that together. And when you come, I want to see it all, and you tell us about it.
Okay, I promise. I'll get you some pictures.
Okay. I love you much.
Love you. Dad says hey, and you know he loves you too.
Yeah, I do know he loves me much.
And we tell you everything. There's not any stories that we talk about on the show that we don't tell you about. So don't go asking. And don't worry about listening to the show, because we tell you everything when we talk to you.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Love you. Bye. Okay.
You was the one that lied to your nana about me.
Okay, yeah. That's true. Hey, don't tell her. Don't you
tell her. I ain't telling her. No, I ain't getting.
The only reason you didn't lie to her, too, I assume, is because she couldn't hear you.
Because I don't tell her. And I didn't step up. I ain't never told her that she didn't need to watch the show either, because I didn't want to open that can of worms. Yeah. Have somebody come over and say,
was that a mistake? Did I just plant the thought in her head?
Yeah. Well, no, she's got some older friends that kind of is more adept at looking at stuff. Of course, she can't look at it on her phone because she's got one of them little old flip phones. So
okay, well,
we're in pretty good shape.
So we'll just go ahead and say, hey, listen, if you're in contact with Nana and you're listening to the show, you gotta. There's a circle of trust here that you listen, and then you don't tell Nana. So
don't divulge.
You don't divulge. So there you go, and don't say I heard you on Dispatches from Myrtle Beach. Don't even say that. Don't even say that. Don't even remind her of that. Don't bring it up. I made the mistake. Don't follow my footsteps. Don't plant any seeds that she could listen to it or should listen to it. All right? Don't tell Nana anything.
That's a quote from my son from Dispatches from Myrtle Beach. Just kind of leave Nana out and let her keep thinking about what's going on.
No snitching.
It's time for another edition of Shagging Around the World.
That's the one thing with the kids on vacation. There were certain points when Lily would be like, I got to tell Lando that he cannot be a snitch. He's complaining about how Lando would like tell us stuff about, you know, he would give a report about stuff that Lily had done in the room. Like, assert which bed she got and which bed Lando got. And Lando was like, listen, at the first place we got to, there was, there was one room with two beds, okay? And we got him to bring in a third bed. And when we walked in the room, it was like, there was a queen-size bed, there was a twin bed, and then there was a cot, and it was just like baby bear, you know, like the three bears beds is what it was like. Little bed, medium-sized bed, and big bed. And we said, all right, this is y'all's room, and then me and Christy went to our room because it had one king bed, and we had nothing to argue about. We said, we'll just let them handle this. A few minutes later, Lando comes in the room.
And Lily handled it because she got the queen size bed.
She thought she handled it. Yeah. And a few minutes later, Lando comes in our room and he says, you know, Lily is basically playing the oldest child card. And then he was upset about it. And he said, I said we should play rock, paper, scissors for the biggest bed and go from there. And whoever wins gets it because I want my chance. I never get my chance. I'm always the smallest, and the smallest gets put in the smallest bed, and that's how it's always been. And he said, you know what? I am no longer the smallest. Lily is now the smallest. And I was like, wow, well, you're right. I mean, you know, now that he's 14, he's like shooting up in height. And of course, Lincoln is taller than me.
Oh, yeah.
And Lando is taller than Christy now, which means that he's also taller than Lily.
He's tall.
And he was like, so if we want to go by who's the biggest, you get the smallest, but I'm cutting you a deal with this rock, paper, scissors thing. And I was loving the fact that Lando was like being so assertive about it. And then about that, he was just reporting this to us. And then about that time, then Lily's coming in our room. And Lily's like, well, that's just not how I see things. It's basically, you know, her assertion. She's like, she's still the oldest and, you know, she's an adult. So she should be able to make that decision. And she was not willing to take the risk that Lando offered. And then Lincoln comes in. Now we're having a family meeting. Of course, Lincoln being a part of a family meeting, you know what that means, right? When Lincoln joins a family meeting.
Oh, yeah. He's the one that needs to be in control of everything that's going on.
I think he would be the best because he's the peacemaker. What it means is that nothing, because he doesn't say anything. He's a classic middle child, and he's just there to like watch them fight each other and stay out of it. And it was very clear that Lily and Lincoln were fighting over the big bed and the little bed, and that Lincoln was just like, okay, well, Lincoln's just going to get the middle bed and stay out of it, you know? He had already decided that by default, and he was fine with it. So it was very classic middle child to get the middle bed and stay out of everything. And they ended up, Lily and Lando, sharing the big bed. And nobody slept on the cot. And then they all leave. And we took a nap because we were kind of zapped. We wake up from the nap and we're getting ready to go somewhere or check out the surroundings, you know, lots to explore. We can't nap forever, Niels. And then Lando's, he snitched again. He was like, well, Lily took a nap on the little bed. On the cot. And I'm like, well, that's good, right? And he was like, no, but then she still refuses to sleep on the little bed. She opened up a whole can of worms again by, for some reason, elected to take a nap on the cot that she was so adamant against sleeping on. And I was like, listen, this has already been decided. This is over. And we moved on to something else. But that was the drama of the trip right there, Dad. Hey, Dad, why don't you put in a little plug for Last Meals? I don't have time. I'm sick. Can you just do it? I'll do it. Can I do it as you? I don't care. If you love my show, Dispatches from Myrtle Beach, then you'll love the Mythical Kitchen's show, Last Meals, because it can get morbid. They're off to a huge start in 2024. They got Gordon Ramsay on? Huh. Take my word. This is only the beginning. So check out the Mythical Kitchen channel and the Last Meals playlist for even more of your favorites, sharing their ideal hypothetical Last Meals with Chef Josh. Yes, they're not actually dying. Well, we're all dying, but you know what I mean. And then, of course, on the back end, just to go ahead and take care of that, you heard the fiasco. We flew into Auckland. We spent half of our time there. And then at the halfway point, we flew from Auckland down to Queenstown in the South Island. And we stayed in Queenstown for a while. And then to end our entire trip, we took our rental car back, and we were driving it back to then fly back to Auckland and then have a 5-hour layover and then get on the plane from Auckland back to L.A. direct, which is like an 11-and-a-half-hour flight. Well, we got a text on the way to return the rental car. And if, I'll be honest, at this point, we were, as much fun as we were having, we could have come home 2 days earlier. Which, if you're there for a little over 2 weeks, you know, 2 days, you know, it's, you never can anticipate when you're going to feel like wanting to come back home. But, like, we were ready to come back home. We missed the dogs. We missed our house. We missed our comfort zone. And we missed our space and our friends and the dogs. Did I mention the dogs?
Yeah.
We missed a dog. Yeah. Oh, we missed a dog so much. And so we were kind of at our limit, you know. And then we get a text when I was literally pulling into the rental return. Don't panic, but your flight home from Auckland has been canceled. Just outright canceled, not delayed. And you're like, oh, crap. But Kara, our assistant, said, don't panic. So you know what? I'm not going to panic. The good news is we had worked through a travel agent. We've worked with our travel agent for like all of our big trips. Her name's Nancy. You know, it's like, you're in a good, another good Nancy in our lives. Can't have enough good Nancys, right?
That would be correct.
So the good news is she was tackling all the rebooking and stuff while we were just trying to go through the rigmarole of continuing to get on this first trip back on the first leg. So she was able to rebook something, but so we flew to Auckland, and then instead of getting on the next flight, flying through the night, we just left and checked into a hotel, got up early the next morning, and flew to Sydney, Australia. More out of the way, wrong direction. That was a 3.5 hour flight. And you know, Christy is, she doesn't love to fly.
She ain't crazy about it. Yep.
So that's the last thing you want is to add a 3.5 hour flight after a night of trying to sleep again. It was tough for her, especially. And then when we got to Sydney, we connected on a flight to Los Angeles that was 2 hours longer than if we'd have flown from Auckland. So it was 13.5 hours. And we flew through that night, slept as much as we could. But we made it. I mean, like yesterday, I'm still like, it's like I hit a wall like 30 minutes before we did this show. That's why I got this.
Well, that's what I, when I texted you yesterday and said, well, I texted you and said, well, I'll see you tomorrow. And you said, yeah, I guess. And I said, man, I don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in. All that, I said, all that flying, got to get up and go right. Instead of having a day to rest and get kicked in and back to normal, you had to come home. And I'll get into a Reuben a little bit, but tell me about, you sent me a couple of pictures of New Zealand, but tell me, I mean,
I told you the best parts already. No, well, I remember that the first picture I sent you. Do you remember what it was? It was of us in front of the door, the circular door. Describe the door. Describe the picture.
It looked like a bunch of bushes going around this stone door, but it was some kind of movie.
Well,
set.
I said, we're here, and I sent you the picture. And do you remember what you texted back?
Yeah, I said, is that where you're staying? That's
what. Dad, you thought we were staying in a hobbit hole. You thought our hotel was a hobbit hole?
I think I know what a hobbit is in those movies and called a Lando and them, but hey, it looked like you can't ever tell when y'all go up on vacation where you're going to stay and what it's going to look like. And when you get, and it was a pretty neat looking thing in that picture.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where y'all were staying. So, and all I could see was the outside. I couldn't see that it was just a little old hobbit hole. It looked pretty neat. Pretty neat to me.
If you've seen the movies. Yeah. There are thematic Airbnbs throughout the world, but I don't presume that you are studied in those either. So
No.
But you gave me the benefit of the doubt to be adventurous. Basically, you were doing the same thing that Christy did for most of the vacation was I'm not going to put anything past you for what you might have planned for us on this trip. Oh, you want an inner tube down 3 hours in a pitch black cave and jump backwards off of waterfalls in the complete darkness? No, I'm not doing that. I'm not a cave girl. Oh, you want to go, get on another flight and get on another flight? That I don't love that. You know, it's like, you want to go on a bike, on a family biking trip using a suspiciously vague map and take us all over the countryside through multiple towns on what, by just even a conservative estimate, is a 4-hour bike ride. You want to do this? No. I'm not up for that. Well, we're already on the bikes. well, they're e-bikes, you know. You pedal, but they do most of the work.
Those things are nice.
I have an adventurous spirit, and
no doubt
we had a little bit of we got to get on the same page. We had a few of those moments, but we figured it out. But yeah, we did. So me and the kids, we did the cave thing, and Christy stayed back and heard all about it. And she made the right choice for her. It was amazing. Are you a cave person? Yeah, I know you've been in like big, you've been in caves. Caverns. Yeah. Are you cool with tight spaces?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, her and Nancy would, if we'd have been with y'all, it'd have worked out pretty good. You can't even hardly get Nancy to get in the ocean, much less jump off a waterfall backwards. Because we tried to get her to go snorkeling, because I learned how to snorkel.
Oh.
This time in Aruba.
For real?
And yeah, Pat bought me a snorkel, a nice snorkel thing.
What is a nice snorkel thing? I mean, it's got one end goes in your mouth, one end goes in the air. It's a pipe and goggles.
Yeah, but this one's got a little thing. So if you get water in it, if you just blow out on it, it clears it out instead of having to take it out of your mouth, like the one I tried to use the year before when we was in Aruba and things didn't go so well.
Oh, so okay.
That's the only difference.
Oh, I mean, cool. So what did you go out on a boat or did you go from the shore snorkeling?
I went just where we were staying at, and I just went out where, got in the water and practiced and swam around with it and looked around. But the whole time we were there, Link, it just, they told us the reason it was when you stuck your arm, you know, you were in the water and you had your hand down in there, and I got some long arms, but if I had it stuck down and was snorkeling, it was so cloudy that I couldn't even see my hand.
Really?
So, and they said it was because they had one big cruise ship come in, and it's so big that when it ports at Aruba, it has to back in to where it gets to.
Okay.
It can't drive in, turn around, and it stirs up all the water for it. And of course, when we had a shower or two of rain, different things, little storm, but that ain't nothing. I mean, we wouldn't even leave from outside. They'd want to get up under a tent, and I say it's 85 degrees. Y'all ain't gonna melt. Just sit here; it'll be gone in 15 minutes. And
so you laid out in the rain and just
laid there and let it swing. Yeah, because I'd get in the water and go swimming, and if it was too wet raining, I'd just go out there and get in the water.
Wet's wet, right?
Wet's wet. And but it was
So visibility was low.
Yeah. So, and then me and Pat went another day and walked way down the beach, and Nancy went with us to see if it was clear there, and we snorkeled around out there and at a place, and it was about the same. And then we were going to go on a boat trip, and the guy was nice enough where you rent and stuff, told us, he said, it just is not a good time to go. Mm. He said, I'll take you, but you won't see what you need to see because the water stirred up so much. We give him an attaboy for that instead of spending that $80 a piece.
Okay.
We got to put that and keep that in our pocket. But
attaboy.
It was still.
So when you learned to snorkel, even though there was no visibility, did you learn to dip down, hold your breath and dip down, swim around a little bit and then come up and then clear the snorkel?
Yeah. I did that a couple times too.
Sounds like you're ready to go scuba diving next.
Well, we may have to talk about that.
You got
to
take a class though. You got to be certified.
Oh yeah.
You know, Lincoln and I did that.
And Hawaii. Yeah.
We did it in New Zealand too.
Did you?
Yeah. We dropped the rest of the family off back in Auckland because we were staying south of Auckland. And then we drove back up 2 hours. We dropped them off at the hotel to stay that night. And then we kept driving north another 2.5 hours to almost the top of the North Island. So like Lincoln and I had our own little road trip and we got to see a whole other part of the island and we got to listen to our music. You know, like on the way there, I was playing him my hip hop that I love that you wouldn't like at all. And then on the ride back, he was playing me his hip hop that he loves that you wouldn't like at all. Unless you're into Lil Uzi Vert. I don't know if he's your thing, but he might be. I'm not gonna presume anything.
No. Don't know if I know who Uzi Vert is, but that's all right.
Lil Uzi Vert.
Lil Uzi Vert.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, I got it.
Yeah. All right. What about Stove God Cooks?
Stove God Cooks.
Yes, he does.
No, I don't know who that is.
Yes, he does, and he'll rap all about it, Dad. Logan, just make a note. We need to have a hip hop orientation for Dad as like a separate session.
Perfect. Let's do it.
This is just a little taste.
Yes.
I don't know what it's going to be, but if you're up for it, Dad, do you want to do like a hip hop orientation?
Oh yeah, I I've been known to kind of make an idiot out of myself on my show, not knowing who hip hop what is and nothing. So I'm game.
Okay. All right. We'll put a pin in now.
Oh, yeah.
And we will not forget about it. So yeah, Lincoln and I had our own little trip up there and we had a good time scuba diving. We went, the boat that we were on, because we went out like an hour and a half out to these remote islands that are like completely uninhabited. And Jacques Cousteau went out there and back in the day and was talking about how it was such an amazing, one of the top places to dive.
Well, I know who he is. I know who Jacques Cousteau is.
Yeah,
so
he's got bars. And I'm talking about pressure. That was quite a joke there. It was a scuba hip hop joke. There's not many people making those. I mean, this is Dispatches from Myrtle Beach, y'all. I got to bring my best for my dad. For his show. Jacques Cousteau has bars. I mean, I just have to say it again. I'm so happy with myself. Dad, bars are rap lyrics. Like, you know, music bars. But when they're really good, when a rapper's really good, it's like he's got bars. Anyway, Lincoln had just gotten over a head cold. I didn't think he could make the scuba trip because you have to be able to like equalize. Even when you snorkel, you know, if you dive down just a couple of feet, you'll have to equalize. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he was able to do it and we were ecstatic that he got to experience. And we the boat that we were on, we went out and we were driving towards this one of these islands. There's like multiple islands. We were driving right towards one, and there was, I could tell that there was like a hole in it. Not all the way through it. There were a lot of arches, but there was like a black hole, like a tunnel. We kept going closer and closer to it. And I'll be damned if that thing didn't get bigger and bigger. And the captain didn't say anything. And then all of a sudden, we're going inside of this cave. And we go all the way inside of this cave, the whole boat. And then he's like, you can check off your bucket list being in the world's largest sea cave by volume. The whole boat went inside of it. And it was just a huge sea cave with like glimmering rocks, like where the sun just like shone, like reflected off. And we're just in there.
Man, I bet that's neat.
And then we left that and we went around an archway, and same thing, went through this archway, thing kept getting bigger and bigger. And it was huge. We went right through this archway, and he said, this is the largest natural archway in the Southern Hemisphere. And they were just right around the corner from each other. And that was above water. Below water, it was amazing, too. So we had a great time. And then that night, we're staying, we drive all the way back, and we stayed in the other hotel room because everybody else was like already bedded down. Next morning, we had to fly down to Queenstown. And I wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm all congested, and I instinctively grabbed my nose to equalize, and so I like tried to pop my ears, and my left ear wouldn't pop, and then all of a sudden, you know, it was like it was kind of half open, and all of a sudden, it just like sealed. And I was in I'd walked to the bathroom, and then I turned around, and it threw off my equilibrium so much that, like, first of all, it was pitch dark because I didn't want to wake Lincoln up. And then I had no equilibrium. Like, my middle ear was just all messed up. And I almost hit the floor, and I like grabbed the counter, and then I'm like walking. I'm like, oh, I got to get back. I just got to get back into bed, and then I'll figure it out from there. And so, like, I'm, like, putting my hands on the bed, on Lincoln's side of the bed, and trying to walk around the bed like this. And it wakes Lincoln up, and, like, Lincoln's like, Dad, why are you feeling in the bed? And I was just like, I can't walk, so I've blown out my ear. I don't know what's going on. And so then he was awake, and then I was laying there, and long story short, I could not get my ear to equalize. I had middle ear barotrauma. And
that doesn't sound good.
It was very discombobulating. It wasn't that it was painful as much as it was just like, I don't know. It was like the ear was just full, and there was nothing I could do about it to make it clear, except take some decongestant stuff. It took 3 days for it to totally clear up. And I had to get on a flight. You can't scuba and then fly with a certain amount of time, but I was clear of that time. But it turns out that it actually got better when I was in the air, because I'd taken enough decongestant nasal spray to like make it better. But like, that was like the scariest point in the trip for me. Because I thought maybe I'd blown my eardrum or I had risk of it. But even if, given what it was, and it wasn't that, it was totally worth it, because it was beautiful down there.
I'll bet. Well, I didn't have anything quite that exciting that went on, but we had a good time in Aruba. We met a couple from Iowa that lived on a little, it's kind of a small farm, about 40 acres, and they grow mushrooms.
This was in Aruba?
No, I met these people.
Where?
That were from Iowa in Aruba.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I know Iowa's not in Aruba. I was saying, where is your story taking place?
We were sitting around just drinking, having a good time. And you know me, I'd get up and go talk to somebody.
Okay,
so
yeah.
So I went up and talked to them and all the other people around them the first day or second day we were there. and the second day. And they told me where they were from and what they did. And he said, yeah, I worked on a thing with some popcorn from a friend of his that grows popcorn in Iowa. But I did it because, you know, the school where they play football and all that stuff, they wear gold and black.
Yeah.
And he worked on it for 2.5 years and getting it where when it popped, the popcorn was gold and black when it popped.
Really?
Yeah.
So
and their name.
So they had a mushroom farm, and he developed a popcorn.
But his friend had a patent on his popcorn, so he couldn't. But he could take the popcorn and use a derivative because the regular popcorn was just white. But it don't have this popcorn that this guy grows up there. It don't have husk on it, so you ain't got getting teeth in you. Stuff in your teeth and all that stuff. But he's supposed to be sending me and Nancy some popcorn so we can try it and see it where it turns. When you pop it, it's black and gold.
That's the development. I mean, the fact that it's black and gold is cute and all, but it's huskless. That's the real story.
I'm telling you. That's what me and him talked about. And his wife's name is Kim, and She emailed a show.
Oh, yeah.
Because I give her the Rather Be Shagging 53 at AOL.com. She, everywhere she works at, she can be working but pull up dispatches from Myrtle Beach. And she said, I started watching one of them and I stopped because I was laughing and carrying on so much. So I went back and she said, every video, she went all the way back to the beginning. And has been watching every dispatch from Myrtle Beach. And she said, I've been doing it at work. And said, people walk by and say, what is wrong with you? She's laughing and carrying on.
I love it.
She said, glad you figured out what dick pics were.
Yeah.
Oh, she sounds like she's a handful. Did she also say that, listen, Jody was a little drunk when he was talking about that corn. It does have husk and is not black and gold. I gotta apologize. Was he a little?
No, she didn't say that. No, he and hey, they could do like all the rest of us. They could imbibe and have a little drink. So they were nice people, very nice people. And you know, so that was about the, you know, we met a lot of people and sat in the sun for 6 days and. Got a big suntan and ate breakfast and then drank strawberry daiquiris and pina coladas and just went on all about our business and went snorkeling a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Watched, and then I had some pictures of the...
look at the sunset. That's a selfie there.
Yep.
Look at that. Look at you with your selfie game.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
What's a couple other things we did? We had a sheep encounter. We took one day and we drove all the way out to Milford Sound, which is like the most beautiful glacier carved sound. But on the drive there, we're like just going through the countryside. And we come around in this corner and I just see this white glob. And I started filming with my camera. I have the footage. I'll show it to you. I realize that the white glob is coming towards me, and it is a herd of sheep.
Lily, look.
What am I supposed to do?
What are we supposed to do? Stop. I got Lily. Link, I got the video.
Shut up.
I don't know what to do.
We stand here and wait till the sheep go.
Look at all the sheep.
We don't know what to do.
Mom.
Bye. I mean, I wanted a really good sheep picture, so here we are. Hey, guys.
It was a herd of sheep that were being herded down the road by a shepherd.
Oh, man.
They are everywhere there, Dad. Sheep are everywhere. And everywhere there's not sheep, there's cows. And everywhere there's not cows, there's deer. All on farmland. They're like farming venison down there. Reindeer, too. Like big old antlers. It's like, it's bucolic as all get out. You wouldn't believe it.
Well, it sounds like it was beautiful. Yeah, that's pretty neat that you got run into some the eclectic stuff that goes on where you went to.
Oh, yeah.
And had to stop and just sit side of the road till the shepherd got all the sheep.
Hey, you can't buy a ticket to that. It's just something that happened. Traffic had to stop both ways. One other highlight, like there was this whole volcanic area where it was like there'd been this in, I can't remember when it was. I can't remember dates that well, but there was like this, all of these hot springs were like bubbling up and making where this, a volcano had erupted in the past, and it created these huge hot ponds. And there was this one creek called Kerosene Creek that had this own like waterfall. And
kerosene?
Yeah.
Did you say kerosene?
They called it Kerosene Creek because it stunk so bad like phosphorus.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You know how when like you got all these hot springs, they stink like rotten eggs. And everybody was swimming in it. So like me and Lincoln, I can't believe I got Lando to swim. And then like me and Lincoln like put our heads under the waterfall and we're like swimming into this water. And it was like, there were people swimming all around. It was easily 90 degrees.
Darn.
It was unbelievable. That was early in the trip. And then like we couldn't wear those swimsuits the rest of the trip because they stunk so bad. Like, yeah, everywhere you look, there was just something amazing to like, another adventure to go on.
You got to see a part of the world, kind of like what Nana said a while ago, that when she called it, you know, and she tells me all the time, said, you know, you need to do stuff while you're able and to do it and enjoy it. So,
yeah, it definitely felt like a once in a lifetime opportunity. And like, I'm super grateful to have gone.
You know, this has been pretty neat, us getting to catch up.
We could talk forever. We probably shouldn't, though.
But, you know, I thought it was pretty neat. You were telling us about all these places you went to, and you made it feel like that I might just walk out the door over here at the house and I could get to that place from here. You know, like I could be there. So that's pretty neat.
Well, thank you, Dad.
That, you know.
It ain't that easy, trust me. Yeah, especially coming back.
You know, I'm telling you, it's been good talking about Aruban. It's been good you telling us about New Zealand, and it was fun being here with you, and it was fun having all your
Myrtle Beasts.
Myrtle Beasts. It's always been fun having all you Myrtle Beasts with us here today. And so I'm trying to get back in the swing with you, Myrtle Beast, and we're so excited to be back. And don't forget to tune in the next week for another mini dispatch. And please click those follow and subscribe buttons wherever you get your podcast on YouTube. And while you're at it, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And you know, if you got a joke, a question, a comment you'd like to share with me, email me at ratherbeshaggin53@aol.com. So we can't wait to spin your world around again next time. So we'll see y'all in about a couple of weeks. And hope y'all enjoyed hearing about mine and Link's vacations.
All right, Dad. Good work.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.